I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
Macedonia and Romania. That's a test. It's not a test question. Okay, I'm not asking you anything about those countries. I am going to say you'll never believe what those two countries have in common. Macedonia, which is like the Republic of Northern Macedonia. I know that now. And Romania. Here's what's happening. My twins, 10 years old, are going to the Model UN in New York next March. My daughter of the twins is Macedonia. My son, Romania. My son, working on nuclear proliferation. My daughter, food scarcity. Just before this podcast, before we sat down for dinner, that is, I was helping both of them simultaneously bounce. You guys have been impressed. You would have been impressed. I was bouncing between Romania and Macedonia, but also nuclear proliferation. And that is always going to be as hard to say. Nuclear proliferation. Nailed it. And food scarcity. As far as I know now, Romania has no food and Macedonia has many nuclear weapons. I don't know where I was at. They could embarrass themselves when they get to New York. I don't know. But they're working on position papers. Good Lord. Some serious research. They're 10. They're 10 years old. I didn't do that kind of work until I got to college. So that's kind of nice for the education side of things. But for the dad helping them things, I just want to, you know me. Just want to put on my slippers and have a cocktail. That's 1950s Sid. But anyway, that's what I did. I came home and I was like, I'm going to do the podcast. And then they needed help. And I was like, yeah, let's get this done. Writing papers. Kind of exciting, actually. I'm glad for them to have that opportunity. Okay, so anyway, and thank you for the peoples out there who are doing the peoples. If you guys are Patreons or patrons, I don't like that word, Patreoners, as I say, you will have received an email about a live Q&A this weekend for the patrons. And so that's what's happening. So I hope you guys got that. Okay, and thanks for dropping reviews and supporting me in whatever way you do. Okay, I always want to throw a thank you in there, and that's what I did just now. I'm on Vimeo. Check that out. I was actually doing a little research to see if YouTube had gotten their act straight. I had 1,600 subscribers on YouTube, and I moved to Vimeo, and all things being equal, didn't lose that many subscribers. I only lost, 1,574 subscribers. That's not, out of 1,600, I lost 1,574 subscribers. That's not too bad, right? Is that a decent? I don't know. I don't know the math on that. I don't know the equations on that. I don't know the actuary tables on subscribership. I don't know. It sounds like it's fine. I mean, I didn't lose them all. This episode, and by the way, episode 70. I mean, clean, neat, 70, nice even number. I'm approaching 100, which is nuts because I feel like this new podcast is a little baby. It's a little podcast. But it's like, I'm not a baby. I'm 70 weeks old. That's not a baby. But 70, that's not bad. Mm. If I could do math, I would say there's a certain percentage of the 222 that I did of the last show. But I'm not like a big equation guy today. I do know the 37.7% unemployment rate of Macedonia that was in 2005. And now it's down to 27.6. I do know that. because due to education efforts. That's something I know that I didn't know a minute ago. This episode is called I'll See It When I Believe It. And it's in three parts. Okay, I didn't want to put in three parts in the title because then you guys are like, that's a long title. I'll see it when I believe it in three parts. But it kind of would have been cool, don't you think? A little bit. So hats off to the human brain. And I don't mean to be trite, like you should take your hat off to the human brain because it's kind of amazing that all the things that it does. And by kind of amazing, I mean like the most amazing. So, but I don't think this is news that we see. We don't see everything. We don't hear everything. It would be too much sensory overload. We have this incredible ability to filter the things that come in our eyes and ears, and everything else, the way we sense the world is somewhat filtered. We don't notice every single thing, but that's thank goodness, because again, like, woo, that was a long day. I saw every single thing, and that's just now I can't, I don't have time. I don't even know, remember how to go to the bathroom. That was just so much information. But it's good to understand that, because it gives us a sense of the filter that is involved in just existence. But also, I'm a big believer in the fact that we can affect that filter. We can actually have some sense of control over what comes in our eyes and ears by what we look for, by how we choose to interpret. And some of those things are, of course, laid down when we were kids and how we were raised and how we were taught and how we our parents communicated with it. We see things a certain way. If we were born, and sort of indoctrinated into a religion at a young age, then we might see things through that filter, and that's fine. That's just what that is. I don't think that's fine, but that's fine. So here are three things that I've come across in the last week. I mean, I've been a busy week. Now, again, I got my own filter, so I'm like looking for these things. One of the things I looked for, well, one of the things I stumbled upon, I will catch the Joe Rogan podcast on occasion. I don't think Joe's a genius. I think he's funny. I loved News Radio, by the way. That was a great show. And Lisa, the character, I can't remember her name, Abby, I can't remember her name, Moira, whatever, met her once because I was on an episode of ER and she was in the show and I met her and that was kind of cool. I didn't say anything like, you're great. I just was like, hey, what's up? You got to act cool when you're in Hollywood. That's what it is. I just didn't do that very well. Okay, so I'm looking at Joe Rogan's podcast and I'm like, okay, so what do you got going on here, Joe? Is there anything of interest to me? No, don't care. UFC fighting, no, thank you. This person, not really. Chris Kress interview comes up and it says, Chris Kress debunks the new film documentary called The Game Changers. And if you guys have seen it, it's on iTunes and everyone's downloading and it's whatever. And I watched it. I thought it was a good film. And it's basically showing, produced by James Cameron. I call him Jim. Yes. Game Changers is so Jim. I mean, it is so Jim. Anyway, I watched the movie and I saw it. And I thought it was a good movie. But it's about plant-based athletes and these professional athletes, not just like, you know, bargain bin, you know, guys like me, but like actual athletes, and they're switching to plant-based and they're having really good reaction and their bodies are, you know, recovering faster. You've probably heard the deal, right? Okay, so I watched the film and I was like, that's kind of cool. Very cool. Well, I thought it was well done. But here comes Chris Kress. He's going to debunk the film. Debunk the whole film. He's going to debunk the film. So I thought, well, I'm going to do myself a favor and I'm going to listen to this. Now, I prepared myself for frustration because I have my own filter and I was like, I don't want anybody debunking a film like this because that's not nice. But I was like, that's Sid, shut your pie hole, I said to myself, because I want to hear opposition research when it's researched. It may be that the Game Changers like falsified information. Maybe they consciously and intentionally cherry-picked and used data that is actually not a good representation of the actual data. And I would like to know that because I might recommend a movie. And if it's been debunked and there's some crazy shit in there, I don't want to look like an idiot, you know, recommending that. I would like to know that it is not based on sound science. That would be a good thing for me to know. So I'm open to hearing the other side of things. But again, I have my own like belief and I learned things and I don't want anybody to debunk a film like that because I think it's kind of cool. But at the same time, like if it's based on nothing, if it's groundless, then bring it, man. I want to know exactly. And I'll be like, yeah, that's not the best film, right? Okay. So I start listening to this podcast. And I'm listening to it with an open mind. I'm in the car. I throw the podcast on. I go, okay, Chris, what do you got to say for yourself? And one thing I'm going to debunk just immediately is that I actually paused for a second because I realized that I was like, his name isn't Chris Kress. It's Chris Kresser. And so I just found out it's Chris Kresser. So there goes my data. So from here on out, Chris Kresser. Okay. All right. Can we just move past it? I like to contract things. The Kresser was too long of a last name. I want to shorten it up. I don't got the time. Anyway, so I started listening to this podcast, Chris Kresser, and I don't know jack all about this guy. Nothing. Never heard of him. He's got some letters next to his name, so I go, that must be legit. You know, that's because that's what it is. And so I'm listening to this, and I go, okay, give me what you got, Chris Kresser. Show me the studies where they go, yeah, they, you know, he took this study, but this was funded by this thing, and that's not right. And then I'd be like, okay, good, Chris Kresser. Chris Kresser with an ER at the end, that's what I'd say. Good for you. Instead, I got a whole load of crap. And I'm trying, again, this episode is on filters. I understand, but I am saying to you, and I would say go listen to this episode, but please maybe don't waste your time on this. And Joe, if you're listening to this, and I know you are, you have the number one podcast, and I have like the number two, probably some sort of in there. Bill, I know it's below number one. I'm sure you listen to me just to see what your competition's doing. But Joe, baby, come on, man. This guy loaded so much of literal crap. Not literal crap, because that would be actual crap, but so much crap. So much. It was to the point of ridiculousness. I got about 25 minutes in. I was like, this guy is not serious. He's not a serious. This is not a serious debate. I'm all for serious debate. I'm not for people who are spewing things that are literally so crazy that it's like nuts. And so I looked the guy up and I'm like, top 10 health advocate or whatever. And I was like, top 100 health, whatever. And I was like, really? Well, that's something. Where was that? Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine's top 100? Oh, you mean the magazine with a Chef Waldorf salad on the cover one time, which actually occurred and that was true? As if the Paleolithic era people were macking on some Waldorf salads, because that's probably what they were doing back then. Paleo Magazine. Anyway, so it turns out the guy's an acupuncturist. You know, look, say what you will about whatever you want, but acupuncture and nutrition don't mix. And by the way, do yourself a favor and go look at some studies on acupuncture, on the effectiveness of acupuncture as compared to placebo. Go look at it when you have a little time. Don't waste your time with the Chris Kresser interview, but go check that out. One of this guy's claims, I am not kidding, was that vegans kill more animals than non-vegans. Vegans kill more animals than non-vegans. Why? Because vegans eat plants, and when you harvest plants, you kill insects and rats and mice and other rodents. Is that true? Of course it's true. Agriculture kills those things when we run freaking huge tractors over land. Yes, we kill all those things, but guess who else does? The plants that go to feed the animals, and then the animals are killed. So it's so insane that he was sitting there actually making that. It's like, I'm not going to say that vegans don't kill animals. We do. That's a fact. When you eat agriculture, you know, when you eat grown in a field, harvested plants, when you drive your car, you are going to kill birds and insects and potentially deer. It's just, can you minimize that damage? And to say that vegans kill more animals than non-vegans it's insane. It's like not worth an effort. But then he got into the protein thing and he literally made this point. He goes, look, there's some guys out there. He mentioned Ritual. He mentioned Scott Jurek. He goes, look, there's guys that can do it. You know, but if you want to spend that much time on food, if you want to spend that much time being that careful, you know, have at it. But, you know, and I'm thinking, and then he made the other point. He said, look, people can go plant-based and sometimes they'll feel better because they're eating better than they were. And I've made that exact point about paleo, by the way, and about the Atkins diet, is that oftentimes people move to those diets and they go, I feel so much better because they were eating such a bad diet, that it is a step in the right direction. It's just not, they'd feel even better if they kept going in the direction of whole plants, nutritionally, scientifically, micronutrient content-wise. But this guy goes, you know, you can feel better on a plant-based diet, but within 1 to 2 years, you're going to start, the deficiencies are going to rear their heads. I mean, you're really going to start having some health problems because, you know, within 1 or 2 years, you're going to start those deficiencies. And I'm thinking to myself, 17 years I've been plant-based. 17 years I've been plant-based. 9 of them occurred before I ran my first ultra marathon at 46 years old. I had been plant-based for 9 years. Then I ran my first marathon after 8 years and my first ultra marathon after 9 years. 9 years after becoming plant-based. Do you think that by then, if I had had so many nutritional deficiencies, according to Chris Kresser, the acupuncturist, that I would have been able to pull off a 50-mile race and pull it off well? And again, anecdotal, that's just me, but I ain't the only one. And there's thousands, if not millions, that are already doing this and have been plant-based for years and doing just fine. I don't measure, count, and weigh anything. It's insane, and it's not worth a conversation, except for that I am talking about it. Okay, so then I shit you not, this is how cool this is. So my kids are doing a fundraiser for their Model UN. This all ties back to the Model UN. That was not intentional. But anyway, so I'm talking to this woman who shall remain nameless, and she's, you know, extremely unhealthy, and she's talking to me and asking me about stuff, and not about like nutrition per se. I just met her, and we were at this fundraiser bake sale kind of thing. And she's having all these health problems, and she's, you know, morbidly obese, and it's heavy, heavy stuff. And I always, that breaks my heart, and I always want to say like, I can help, but I don't, because I'm good about that. If she wants my help, she can ask for it. Anyway, she's got this problem and these, and I'm looking, I'm going, there's some elephant in the room issues. Like, you kind of tackle this thing, and then maybe you might need other little or less important things, but you got to deal with the big problem first. I've talked about that in this, but the Prius effect, like we go, that's solved. I'm doing this, but the big problem isn't being addressed. Okay. Which in this case is clearly her diet. But anyway, so she goes, yeah, I've been working with this doctor in the Bay Area, and he's really good, and he's got this practice and all these different kinds of people, and I've been working with them for a long time. Red flag, always when you're just working with it. I've been working with my naturopath for 7 years. And I go, gosh, 7 years, wow. So that's 7 years of months of buying pills. Is that what you're, okay, good. They've done very well on your dime. Okay, but she goes, yeah, I've been working with this guy. He's incredible. He's incredible. I go, yeah, who's that? Chris Kresser. I am not joking. I'm not kidding. The same week, I go, I just heard that guy on the Joe Rogan podcast. He goes, yeah, that's him. I go, man, he's written like a book. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's incredible. I go, you know, he and I are on diametrically opposed places in the nutritional landscape. Oh, I know. She goes, yeah. No, I know. I don't tend to talk to him too much about diet. I go, I'm thinking to myself, you should talk to somebody about diet. Good Lord. Think about all the work you can do for yourself. I'm drinking water. I'm way too. Listen, you know what I'm doing next week? Okay, you couldn't guess, could you? It's so funny. You had no idea. I think I'm gonna do a 2-day water fast starting Monday and Tuesday. I'll try to do the podcast on the second day of the water fast, only because I want to just then go back later and listen to it and just sound how crazy the things I say. I want to sound just, whoa. He was speaking in tongues on a podcast after 2 days with no food. Okay, so that was the first Chris Kresser, there's the first interview. And I want to make this, finishing up this point with this of the first of three parts. Okay? Is there some merits to the paleo diet? Yes, there are some merits to the paleo diet. Is there merit to ketosis? Yes, there is merit to ketosis. Do I think that it's a good day-to-day thing? No. Guess what I'm going to do when I go into the water fast? Into ketosis. I think it is an extremely excellent hormetic stress on the body in short bursts that has a lot of good things, a cascading of events in the body when it is in that state of ketosis. There are some very good things that happen. I do not agree, and I think long-term studies will bear this out. I do not agree that it is a good thing long-term. I don't think to keep your body and brain in a state of starvation and forcing your body into trying to stay alive instead of thriving for long periods of time is healthy. In short bursts, I think it's incredible, and their studies are there, but they're not in long-term ketosis, I eat meat only kind of bullshit. I think it's crap and fine, but I'll say this. If you look at the giants in the field of plant-based, and I ain't one of them, I'm saying the men and women who I've cited in my books and who I pay attention to on occasion, even though I've moved kind of far away from food, but fine. Most of the giants in the field, I want you to make sure you understand this, and you can do the looking into it yourself. Did not start out plant-based. Did not start out. We did not, Ritual did not start out this way. I did not start out this way. Scott Jurek did not start out this way. Joel Fuhrman did not start out this way. Julie Pyatt, Rich's wife, Esselstyn, McDougall, Fuhrman, who I already think I just mentioned, T. Colin Campbell, Popper, Dr. Popper. Those people did not start out. We did not start out plant-based. Guess what happened? We changed our minds. We changed our minds. We changed our minds when presented with information and science that went, wow, whoa, wait a second, that was in an opposing area and arena from industry, not from other science, but from an industry that was trying to sell us things. And we said, that's not cool. And it's not that we had an opposing industry backing us. I didn't have a broccoli council trying to get people to change their minds. They're not sponsoring. There's not billions of dollars in counter advertising to the meat and dairy industry. There just is not. So I'm always a little more through my filter, a little more willing to listen to somebody who's not backed by a multi-billion dollar industry, or at least connected to one. And Chris Kresser, by the way, there's some stuff that, you know, look at him. If you want to look it up, don't waste your time. I'm just saying I did the research, I looked him up, and I found some critiques of, like, this guy is spewing information that is simply not sound science. And I heard it. And Rogan weighing in on protein and saying, well, you know, it's about the bioavailability and it's about the amino acid profile. I mean, stuff that he has literally no business talking about, obviously no study, but he's not a nutritionist. Joe, interview people. Do that. You do that extremely well. Better than I do, way better. You're amazing in that. Do not weigh in on things that you are not able to weigh in on. And I've dissed Bill Maher for the exact same thing. Don't talk about things that you're not studied in. Okay? Christmas. Mm. Now, and I'm talking about nutrition there. Okay, the next part of the three parts of this podcast is a Peloton ad. And I saw it referenced in some article, and I was like, Peloton. I asked my wife, Lisa, I was like, what's the deal with a Peloton thing? Because it came up in some article, and I was like, oh, wait, what's that all about? And she goes, I don't know, what's the Peloton thing? So I Google Peloton. Actually, I DuckDuckGo. I use DuckDuckGo now as my default browser because it doesn't search and keep track of your movements. Kind of cool, right? Deep state stuff, right? Yeah, man. So I Google Peloton ad, and there's a whole brouhaha about this ad. So I go, whoa, this is like heavy shit. So let me look at this ad. So I look at the Peloton ad. Now, here's the ad. Is it creepy? Oh, hell yes, it's creepy. However, and I used to do commercials, many. And so I watch commercials because that's how I used to make my living, most of it. And so I kind of watch them. I'm looking at this ad and it's got the creepiness there. It's got a creep factor. But anyway, this husband gives his wife a really nice bike, which, by the way, if Lisa gave me a really nice Peloton bike, I'm stoked, period. Like, be like, that's fantastic, because I just bought a used bike for $200. So Peloton would be phenomenal. Okay, so the woman gets the Peloton in, she's like, the wife, and she's like, cool, Peloton, I'm paraphrasing, great, wow, Peloton, wow. I acted that better than she did. And so she starts Pelotoning, I think that's the verb, Pelotoning. And she's documenting her arc of Pelotoning over a year. So she's, you know, videoing. There's days where she doesn't feel like doing it, but then she's really glad she did. I did a video on that. I'm really happy, glad I did that, right? It's like, get up and you're like, I don't want to do that. It's things I talk about. And then but you know yourself, and you're like, I'm going to feel better when I do it. She finishes, feels better. Phenomenal. Goes the whole year. She has a whole year of Pelotoning. And then it shows at the very end, they're watching documented it, and they're watching the video, and it's like, thank you so much, and whatever, and then the ad finishes, and they're watching the thing, and she's like, I can't believe what it changed my life, and all these kinds of things, and it's a little bit forced and overdramatic in a weird way, but they're sitting on the couch watching that she completed this year. Now, if I just watched that without knowing the article, I'd have been like, yeah, kind of weird, creepy ad, I guess, but like, why would you document getting on a bike every day? But whatever, fine, Peloton, nice bike, I'll get one, you know, if I could afford it, that thing. There's like a whole thing about it. There's a whole thing about it. All kinds of crazy interpretations, that the guy was abusive, that the husband, it was alluding to the fact that he's abusive, that he forced her, that he bought her the bike so that she would lose weight, that he was making her like, here, you, this will fix you. And this was this like patriarchal thing. Now, do I have my own filter? You bet your ass I have my own filter. I'm going to come back to this at the very end, okay? But I'm just saying, the way I looked at it. Now, I got a nasty email a while ago in this podcast, not this episode, but one before, because Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, as I know her, had done a Thanksgiving post a couple years ago or last year, whenever I did it, and said, she put up a picture of herself and said, I'm putting this on the wall so that I don't overeat at Thanksgiving. And I did an episode and I got a nasty email, got an argument with somebody, and I realized that was a complete waste of my time. But I engaged respectfully until she got disrespectful and I was like, we're good, we're done here. Because she was convinced that if she was body shaming people and age shaming herself and all, just all sorts of crazy. There are facts and then there is our interpretations of facts. There are facts and then there are opinions on those facts. We need to know the difference between those two things. We need to know the difference. We need to know that when we're watching a Peloton ad, the facts are husband gives wife a bike. wife documents her getting on the bike every day. She doesn't say in any of the video clips that she takes of herself, my husband's making me do this, somebody help me, or I really wish I could lose more weight because my husband doesn't like me unless I'm thin. Nothing. She just, I really, just, you know, she's getting like self-esteem and she's feeling better. She's getting in good shape. That's the arc of the commercial. That's the facts of the commercial. She's documenting her struggle to exercise most days or whatever it was, okay? The actor who played the husband apologizes and goes, yeah, that guy I played was obviously abusive. I'm like, for the love of all that's holy, man, Jesus with the apologies, okay? How about this? Hey, guys, get a hobby. Can you guys not spend your time commenting on a Peloton ad because you got bent out of shape about something that is just not there and that you are seeing because you believe it already and now you're looking for it? And it's not serving our population to have more people like this than less people, okay? Okay. The last thing, and this is going to get touchy, and I saved the not the best for last, but the one I don't have the definitive on because it's definitely creeping into the realm of uncomfortable. So here we go. I'm not a sports fan. You guys probably know that about me. I'm not a sports fan. But this, I was talking to Jeff and he goes, yeah, this 49ers, San Francisco 49ers, which I think they're a basketball team. I'm joking. They're football. And so he goes, yeah, this commentator got put on suspension because he said something racist. And I was like, well, good Lord, that's not good. So what's that? So here's the exact quote that this guy, his last name's Ryan, okay? I'm reading you the exact quote. Okay, here we go. He's really good at that fake. Now, he means handoff, like faking a handoff. Lamar Jackson is the one he's talking about. He's really good at that fake Lamar Jackson. But when you consider his dark skin with a dark football and a dark uniform, you could not see that thing. He then goes on to say, I mean, you literally could not see when he was in and out of that mesh point. And if you're a half a step slow on him in terms of your vision, forget about it. He's out of the gate. That's the comment for which he got suspended. Now, what's interesting is when they clipped that longer quote into a shorter quote, they left out the part with the dark uniform. They just said, when you consider his dark skin and dark football, and I even read one that said, yeah, they said because his skin's dark and it's the same color as the football. Again, what he is saying is this, and the foot, by the way, the uniform, completely black, okay? So I saw a picture of the guy in the uniform, and he is saying he's good at the fake, but when you consider the fact that his skin is dark and the football is dark and the dark uniform, it's really hard to see the football, okay? Now, if you're offended by that, I'm sorry about that. I don't know what to say about that. I'm not offended by that, and 94% of you are going to go, well, yeah, because you're a white guy, and so you don't get to, you know, you don't know what that's like. And to you, I say, it's not 94%, because I think like 94% of you totally are at least willing to have a conversation about that. But for the few of you who aren't, this is not your podcast. I'm just saying that if we cannot talk about this kind of stuff, if I don't have a voice because of the color of my skin, what does that make you? That's all I'm going to ask you right now, okay? This guy did not say Lamar Jackson was in any way worse or better because he's African-American. He was not making a racial statement. He was saying that the color of his skin was close to the color of the dark football, which was close to the color of the dark uniform, and it's really hard to pick something out. This guy is now suspended. Now, is this guy a douche? I don't know. And guess what? I don't care. What I do care is that we are seeing these things because we believe them already, and we are looking for racism now. We are looking for sexism now. We are looking for crazy shit about paleo. We're looking for these things. Does it mean that there's no racism in the world? Of course not. There is racism in the world. There is sexism in the world. I'm saying that when you look for it everywhere, you do a great disservice to yourself and a great disservice to the population at large, because sometimes people who are well-meaning and frankly innocent and not ill-intentioned are being canceled in this lovely cancel culture that we live in for when there are bigger fish to fry. That is what I am saying. I am saying that there are bigger fish to fry than some guy who's a commentator about a football team saying, yeah, I couldn't see the ball. Like, it's all black, you know, black uniform and dark skin and dark football. It's like, he's really good and he's really quick. And unless you're really on it, you're going to get beat by this guy because he's really good. And later the guy said, I have total respect for him. I would love to know what Lamar Jackson said about it. I would hope to say that he would go, what are you guys talking about? This is the dumbest thing in the world. Get on with it. I would love Lamar Jackson to be like, this, whatever, God, get a hobby is what I wish he would say, right? Mm. So I'm going to finish up with this. Maybe that guy Maybe he's racist. Maybe the commentator's racist. Maybe he's racist. Okay? But no benefit of the doubt. Okay, fine. Maybe the Peloton people, the guy who wrote the ads, the women and men who wrote the ad, I bet there could be women who wrote that ad. I don't know. I'm not saying. But the people, let's say the people who wrote that ad, the ad advertising agency, that this is the ad we want to do. Maybe they're sexist, crazy, just insanely, just all about the patriarchy and keeping women down. 100% of them on the writer staff was like, this is an amazing ad that we're going to try to use to sell bikes. And let's make it super sexist and super demeaning to women, because I bet you that's going to sell more bikes. Maybe that's what they said. Maybe that's what they said. Maybe we could look into this a little bit more. Maybe we couldn't jump to the conclusion. Maybe we could use the facts. Maybe we start by assuming the best in people instead of the worst. We assume the best instead of the worst. How about we try and look at things in ways that give people the benefit of the doubt, especially people with no history of bad behavior? Maybe we go, benefit of the doubt, let me find out what's going on there. Let me see. I know that this kind of seems weird to me, but is it that really big of a deal? Like, maybe I'm looking at it through this filter, knowing that we filter the way that we do. Maybe I can look at this thing a little more objectively and say, is this an interpretation that fits with my value system, or am I sort of jumping to that conclusion sort of gut out? Maybe we could look back at that guy, the 49ers, and see what other comments he's made. Has he made anything else? Any other racist comments? Has Peloton done a consistent ad campaign of sexist interviews? Has it done that? I don't know. How about while looking at the world, we stay open at least to trends and patterns if they come up? Let's, instead of jumping to a conclusion, we look at trends and patterns and we go, you know, this guy said this thing and it's kind of stupid, I guess, but he doesn't have a trend about this. This is not a pattern of behavior of this guy. Peloton, as bad of an ad that was, they're a decent company. I'm hypothetical, I have no idea about them, but let's say they're a decent company and they've never done an ad like this before. And let's just be at least open to, instead of taking somebody down, we look at and say, is there a trend here? Is there a pattern here? And by the way, if there's a pattern of behavior of these kinds of people, if there's this commentator or somebody, if there's a pattern and we see a pattern of this kind of behavior, then hell yes, throw down.
You go to the past like you'll find something there that wasn't before. We are drained in these days with the fall never coming. Even that won't save us anymore. And the whole time, all of this was seeping in. And the whole time, with the world catching up to us, I'll be waiting We go to the past now, in this dimly lit room, finding blindness shelters tonight. I would ask for forgiveness, I would ask for a break in this, I would ask if I thought it was right. And the whole time, all of this was seeping in. And the whole town, with the world catching up to us, I'll be waiting.